Yoni is, oops.
Yeah, right. Insert like slur. Cool. We're good to get started?
Yes.
Cool. Thank you everybody for being here, and I appreciate the PHB staff working out all these technical issues. We love you guys. Deborah and I are the co-chairs, I think, of the RSC Bylaw and Rules and Bylaws Committee. And, you know, I think there's a few things I was thinking about, like, what are we going to talk about today and why is this kind of critical to help navigate, like, the conversation around housing generally in the city of Portland and also specifically within the forum of the RSC. And so we did a really good job in year one of the RSC of getting people invested. They kept coming back. They kept feeling like even if one issue goes their way or not their way, it was worth it to be at a table where at the very least you learn about what other people feel. You're learning from the community as they're participating, landlords and tenants alike and service providers. And we're also learning from each other that, like, even if we don't agree on everything, we still find good things as people in each other. And so the initial set of bylaws that were adopted at a juncture before this RSC really got off the ground. We didn't really have this history and this experience and this investment. They were kind of set up in an effort to bring that kind of coalescence. And so I think the question moving forward is feedback from you folks and having a brainstorming session about, are we happy with the direction of this committee? Is it a worthy investment of our time? And what are the changes that people from a kind of high level perspective want to institute in the rulemaking and debate and dialogue about any different issue that comes up that would maybe enhance the way we approach these issues and pass on our recommendations to higher ups in city council. So, what do people think about? Maybe we just go around the table and people can say one good thing and one bad thing. I've said enough. So, maybe we could say one good thing that we really like or one and one bad thing that we need to improve on. Or not bad, but, you know, room for improvement. You want to start us off?
Sure.
And
so
if you could say your names and we'll
for the
just
record.
Do it as a roll call as well.
Oh, perfect. Laura Galino De Lovato. From my perspective, being new to this committee but familiar with what the committee's done, I think that having the committee in place and the work that it's done to put some structure around process for items coming to the agenda and decision making and various things, that's been really great to have that in place. I don't know that there's anything that needs improvement unless it's perhaps this very conversation mm-hmm. about deciding what is it now that this committee needs to do going
right.
forward. Does it need to be ad hoc? Does it need to be...
What's ad hoc mean? Sorry, I don't know.
Ad hoc. Aren't you a lawyer?
They tell me, but I don't know if it's true.
So I don't know exactly what it means in Latin, but I believe the quick...
As needed.
As needed. Got
yeah.
it.
So that's the... So it's a standing committee. It's got members, but it doesn't meet on a regular basis. It means really that it meets only in response to some sort of
mm-hmm.
need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the only thing that I can think of at this time.
Christina?
I think one thing we need to think about, and I thought we were meeting specifically to talk about Margot's proposal, but I'm not sure.
That's part of the
okay. But I do think, in line with that proposal, I do think having a more formalized way beyond just public testimony to hear input from mm-hmm. folks that are, you know, renters, landlords, providers, not just the mm-hmm. folks around the table, is something we need to improve on.
Mm-hmm. Like listening sessions in particular?
Yeah, I do think that's really important for us because we all come with our own expertise and opinions, but it needs to be informed by also what we're hearing.
You were at the, remember we did a listening mm-hmm. session in, I think it was Northeast, was it North
Northeast?
Yeah, it was
at ERCO.
That was, I found that to be an incredible experience. hearing from people from every perspective.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see that replicated as well.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just have a clarifying question. Is that within the scope of the of this committee?
I think so. I think yes.
Okay. It's written into the bylaws that like we want listening sessions and that it kind of falls under the rules. So the question is do we want
So this committee can then say, okay, we've identified it. Now how do we make it happen?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
So
sorry, your name for the record?
Oh, Deborah Emsey. So I think some more listening, you know, especially as more things look like they're going to, more ordinances are going to get passed, more, we're having you know, in like because Senate Bill 608 passed with an emergency clause, we're really struggling to get our membership up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I have more administrative bandwidth than the other two associations do. And we had actually, we had people, once the attorneys could agree on what the FAQ should look like, and that was no easy task, then we had, actual meaningful modification to 16 different forms and another 35 changes to make those forms in compliance with the 16 modifications. And I feel that I can absolutely guarantee that, and we had people on the computer side working 24/7 in order to get those for our electronic forms modified. And so I think we, those modifications, I'm getting to my point here, believe it or not, I'm not really just venting, but maybe a little bit of that. But anyway, but to get those modifications in, so on the electronic forms, we were compliant within 6 days, which was, you know, but I feel really sure that there are a fair amount of folks out there that are not compliant right now. So getting to my issue, so if we have more ordinance passing and, you know, we're really interested in, you know, the landlords who really want to do this correctly, we're going to have ways of finding out what the unintended consequences of things that are happening in the city of Portland. And because Portland wasn't exempt from 608, we're going to have to be really cognizant of that overlay and you know, like I said, things playing out in a way that none of us could kind of envision until you start seeing the stories. And then I've been really impressed with, as far as the RSC goes, with the staff support that we have gotten. Having been for 18 years, I've sat on a very large number of committees, and rarely is it that level of you know, staff support. So I'm really appreciative of that. I still think that we can improve as maybe commissioners in staying away from anecdotal stories. And, you know, I think just the very nature of things are really toxic right now and continue to be really toxic. And so I think anytime we can look as commissioners as a way to, you know, kind of, as in Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am, you know, and there'll be facts that won't bring out the best in, you know, in terms of the landlord community and their, or the tenant community. But, you know, the more we can sort of keep the human element going, I think the better. I think you do better public policy when you're focused on, you know, data.
Appreciate that feedback.
Mike.
Oh, Mike. Hi, Mike. I didn't realize you were on the phone. I'm so sorry.
Hi, Mike.
That's okay. I know Yoni doesn't love me.
I love you, Mike.
So are we one good thing, one bad thing in regards to our time at the RSC? Is that the thought here?
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Ooh,
I thought it was
I think the most positive thing that's come out of it is just, and it's ultimately the reason that I signed up for the RSC. I think I talked to Andreas about it in our check-in in December as well. It's just getting feedback and different perspective and learning more about what people that are walking in different shoes are going through on a day-to-day basis and how that affects them, how it affects their lives, and ultimately affecting their community. Because at the end of the day, it makes me a better property owner, a better property manager, a better community member. So expanding the perspective, I think, is the best way to sum that up. And then the one negative thing is just, I come from the private sector where we're always trying to push and strive to do things quickly and efficiently. And then just changing to a governmental pace. And then caveat that with governmental pace for a committee that meets once a month. It just takes going to take a long time to actually see action from the meetings that we're taking or we're holding. Sure. I kind of look at it as most of the year, if not the entire year, this year is going to be in regard to the rental registration services. So that's going to be a lot of meetings, a lot of hours, a lot of talk. But implementation-wise, we probably won't see anything implemented. We're very little implemented by the end of the year. So that would be my one frustration or bad thing is just frustration at the pace, which that's government at its finest. So it's nothing that really we can control as an RSC.
Thank you, Mike. Laura?
Sorry, I misunderstood thought we were talking about just about this committee. So if I may add.
Of course, yeah.
I think it's been wonderful that the committee, the whole RSC, has been able to continue to meet and that so many people have stayed with it. I think it shows a level of commitment and willingness to really address the issue at hand and not the personal agendas, I think, overall. I will say, and I shared with Andres when I met him, I think my part of my frustration with the committee as a whole is that the mayor formed it, and the mayor's stamp and direction to us it still seems to be missing. And I really would like to see some clarity. Either it's still a committee that he formed and had intended in a certain way with some certain direction, or it's not. And because I think once clarified, if we were to sort of move beyond the mayor's vision, I think that, for me personally, that would give me a little bit more sort of feeling that we have an opportunity to maybe stretch a little bit or talk more about what we really want this committee to do, whereas most of the time I still feel like, are we bound by this original vision that is... Mm-hmm. Feels like we're at arm's length from the mayor. So that's just been frustrating to me.
Yeah.
Who are we really serving? What are we doing?
Like, what's the goal?
What's the goal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it feels like we're all over the map.
Yeah.
And being very reactive instead of being proactively identifying so that we can inform city council and the mayor ahead of. The flip side of that is that by having more control over our scope and purpose, we can prioritize things like the listening sessions as a real way to meet that goal of being the place where people come to share,
mm-hmm.
not just through public testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I think this has been a very helpful exercise. I know I talked to Deborah and Yoni as we plan to bring this commission back online and set up a regular meeting time. And a lot of the comments shared lined up with the comments from the check-in and lined up with kind of what we had discussed as topics for the commission, for this committee of the commission to work on. So as Yoni said, we crafted bylaws originally out of this group and passed it along to the commission. Since then, the commission's really gotten fully operational and we've seen some sort of workflow develop. And it doesn't look exactly like the bylaws, and so I think one of the tasks is mm-hmm. aligning that. But I think also as part of that, to Mike's point, the pace of government, especially commissions that meet once a month, is remarkably slow. And so finding any time within that to talk about process is incredibly challenging and means not talking about other topics. And so I think an opportunity for this group is to have those conversations about process in a smaller environment, to think through not just how do we rewrite the bylaws to be in compliance with that's unfortunate. Not just how we rewrite the bylaws to be in compliance with what we're doing now, but what is the ideal process for this group? What is the role? And then I think that can break out into a number of areas. I think that the most pressing one and the one that we're starting with today is about public testimony, because that's been brought up a number of times. But there are also questions about how we structure our meetings. There was an original structure in the bylaws that looks very different than what we've done. Mm-hmm. And knowing that the agenda shifts, that the direction we get from council shifts and can be very last minute, how do we create a process that accommodates and works with that, but isn't just reactive? And then I think I'd also want to add in there, after writing our first letter as a commission, how do we want the process of letter writing to look and the letters themselves? Because I think there's a lot of interest in that conversation. So those are kind of what I, as staff, was envisioning for the committee to work on. Mm-hmm. And going to Laura's point of whether it's ad hoc or standing, I think that it makes sense to me, at least, if it makes sense to other people, that the committee meet monthly until we run out of things to talk about, and then we go back to meeting as needed.
The rules and bylaws.
The rules and bylaws committee. Because at least for the time being, I think that this is a lot of conversation, and we'll kind of see how far we get over a period of time. And once we reach the end of process and other conversations to talk about, we go back to holding the meeting time, but assuming that if it's not needed, it will be released.
Mm-hmm. That works for me.
Yeah, I think so. I've identified, I think, two areas where we can kind of pursue our work. And number one is taking the time to look through the bylaws, the rules and bylaws, and identify areas where the way we function in practice differs from the rules, and whether the rules need to be updated or changed or deleted. And I'm happy to take the lead on that and help with that. However, folks want, I don't necessarily need to. I'm just offering if no one else wants to. But more than one set of eyes would definitely be good. The other part is kind of things that are in the bylaws that aren't wrong or don't differ from practice, but maybe we want to utilize more, like the listening sessions, right? And kind of bolstering, how do we want to flesh out these listening sessions? What should they look like? It seems to me like they're a very important component for anyone invested on any of the issues we discussed to have the ability after business hours to congregate and hear what other people are thinking. It just seems like we've created an arena where people at least feel they can come and share information regardless of what they feel, and that is something to harness. So I'd be in favor of maybe over the course of the year doing quarterly listening sessions. And I don't know if that was Margot's proposal in particular.
I don't remember specific rules. Yeah. And I also don't remember specifically what the bylaws say about listening sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me, was it that bylaws were going to be, listening sessions were going to happen, because there was a format of the works session, I can't remember the language, then there was three vision meetings, and the listening session was at the beginning of one of those, right?
Is it in the process of it? So if I remember right, it was an initial meeting, and then either a work session, then a listening session, or a listening session, then a work session, and then a final meeting.
Yeah.
But in practice, we haven't had defined topics, we haven't had delineated meeting rules,
Yeah.
so...
Yeah.
The listening session has also gotten lost as we haven't followed that.
Yeah, and it seems like we're also, out of necessity, adjusting the agenda based on what's coming before council and ongoing time.
Well, and I think there's a question, too, about do we want the listening sessions to just be open to whatever? Do we want to define what the topics for the listening sessions are? Mm-hmm. And I think it made sense under the old bylaws that the topics were defined based on the issue before us, but that may not be as clear now.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I think there is, we do want to create room for kind of people to bring up any issue, not at, maybe at every session, but just to create a space for that too, so we can kind of guide future work we may want to do.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that, to go along those lines, just guiding the work that we do, there were times throughout the duration of the last year where the group as a whole got very focused on changing specific language and wordsmithing specific language of a proposal. And this is my personal opinion. I don't expect anyone or everyone to agree with me, but I just kind of inherently feel like the most value we can provide is not, I mean, it doesn't preclude or prevent the idea of changing specific language suggestions, but we also want to get a big picture view, right? Like, these are the things that this stakeholder group is concerned about. These are the things that we, why we're at the table and why we feel this needs to go forward versus, you know, change this because I don't know what the definition of this means and it needs to be clarified. I mean, I don't think that's a, we're certainly not bringing on any harm by doing that work, but the question is if we're not responsible for writing the law itself and we're simply there to provide recommendations, we should flesh out what our recommendations are. And I don't know if that should be reflected in the bylaws as well in terms of reforming them.
And I think that goes to my point about the purpose of the committee.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's directly related. We're going to be, given that there is a commitment on all of the commissioners' parts to participate and be here, our energy could be and time could be used so much more effectively if, you know, if we had a very clear purpose.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are things that obviously we can't tackle in one meeting, but, you know, in between this month and the next month, based on all of those, based on all the work that we have ahead of us, where do people want to focus their energy on rules and bylaws? Do we, in between now and a month from now, do we want to focus on fleshing out a listening session proposal to get to the group, or do we want to focus on identifying areas of improvement for the bylaws themselves, or do we want to do both simultaneously? And who wants to work on what?
It seems like it would make sense to look at where the bylaws need to be amended and changed to better reflect what we've learned so far.
Sure.
And then they're going to be more effective in moving forward something like listening session or whatever.
I would be curious. I know the city has sort of redone all of, you know, therefore, you know, no emails anymore and whatever, but I know that they're getting very, trying to be very uniform about how, so, kind of agreeing with Laura, I mean, so, you know, like my organization has bylaws and that governs exactly how a board meeting goes or whatever. So to me, if we have bylaws and the committee is not operating according to the bylaws, that's pretty serious and needs to be fixed. And then, you know, because I mean, obviously, a organization, you know, that has a tax designation, like my organization does, has state obligations to be following those bylaws. I don't know if that's the same, if there's an equivalent to that at the city, but it disturbs me greatly that what's happening isn't reflected in our bylaws.
Yeah, I think that the city has historically not done a great job of minding bylaws and updating them and being in compliance with its own bylaws. And there's been an effort to standardize, as you've mentioned. In many ways, maybe unfortunately, the RSE is ahead of the curve relative to other advisory bodies. Its bylaws.
Mike, how much do you like the public sector now?
So I think, Yoni, your idea of reviewing the bylaws to highlight areas where we're out of compliance, to highlight areas that we might not be out of compliance but might want to revisit the process is a good exercise. And that might be something good for all members of the committee to do between this meeting and the next, mm-hmm. and it will kind of serve as a grounding point. Everyone has reviewed the bylaws. Everyone will bring their own mm-hmm. items of, like, this is where I don't think we're doing this, and this is where I just think we should talk about this more.
Yeah.
And so that's a reorientation point that we could have next meeting.
Yeah, and if you guys are comfortable, instead of, like, here's what I'm thinking, just instead of, like, any one person, me or otherwise, leading this process, if the next step could be, if you're okay with it, sending out a copy of the bylaws to all of the members here, mm-hmm. and we each individually go section by section and just highlight, doesn't seem like this is what we do, mm-hmm. doesn't seem, right? And then everyone brings that there, and then we can spend the hour next month kind of, okay, what should that be? And then the month after that, okay, is it good enough? Do we need to tweak it more? That way we're kind of all involved in it, and it's not carried. This should not be owned by any one purpose. We're working together, and everybody's opinion should matter. And we can wordsmith it together and kind of identify areas that are important to our various stakeholder groups separately.
Yeah, I think that's a great mm-hmm. idea. I'll send those out, and we can spend next meeting going over the document together as a group and reviewing
cool.
it.
Cool.
Okay. We have about 20 minutes left in the meeting. I think that is a great plan moving forward. I think it will give us a sense of the remaining scope for the committee as it works through this. So people have brought up a few times, Margot had a proposal surrounding public testimony, and her proposal touched on a few topics. It touched on whether there should be an additional committee of the RSC to respond to public testimony. It touched on listening sessions and how the RSC has them, how often, what their purpose is, and what happened to them. And it, as part of the committee conversation, I think it was spurred by a desire to figure out what we do with public testimony. So, listening sessions would be a way to receive more public testimony, but we already receive some public testimony, and a lot of it isn't specific to the proposals the group's discussing. So then, as a body that's receiving public testimony, what does the RSC do with it? And I think one idea was a committee writes responses and sends them to the people who gave testimony. I think what the city has typically done, if anything, I again want to unfortunately stress that the RSC is ahead of many advisory bodies here, so we don't have a lot of good models to follow. But something that has been done in the past is testimonies kind of aggregated and summarized and then passed along to relevant decision makers, whether that's simply reporting to the director and the mayor's office saying, here's what we're hearing, whether that's connecting people to projects or discussions that are already happening in the city and allowing them to loop into that or inform, like, maybe this is actually about building code, so we should be sending that and maybe that person to BDS because they're coming to us, but we might not be the best ones to help them. And so I think the question for this group to begin to tackle is, when the RSC receives testimony, what does it do with it? Mm-hmm.
I think in reviewing the bylaws as they currently exist, my guess is what we're going to find is there are going to be moments where we point to a certain bylaw and we say, this isn't how it works, remember this time. And we reflect on a time where it kind of... And my point is that as we go through the document itself, it will become readily apparent to everyone what the issues are in terms of kind of the things you were talking about. What is the place for public testimony? What is the best value for public testimony? And do we want to adopt a role for the committee to transmit the messages we're hearing on public testimony to some other entity? I'm happy to discuss the topic of public testimony separately, but it's also something that's definitely going to be intertwined in the bylaw process as well. So the question is, do you guys want to discuss that as a separate thing now, or do you want to wait? We do have 20 minutes now, and I don't want anyone to feel like we're not in a place to discuss it.
I think in some ways it kind of goes to what Laura was saying in terms of what is the function of the commission, if, you know, kind of who's setting the agenda, right? I mean, mm-hmm. if the mayor's saying, yes, I want you to look at this, this, and this issue, you're right. I mean, is there a value to hearing public testimony that's not on point to those specific issues? I mean, what do we do with it?
Right.
Nothing really. So I think if, but I do also think there is a tremendous value, especially when we're talking about, like, how should we be sending, what types of services should be offered? Like, mm-hmm. I want to hear from people what kind of services mm-hmm. they want. Like, I think I may know what would mm-hmm. be good, but that's paternalist. You know, like, mm-hmm. Let's figure out what people actually say they want. So I think if the public testimony is, you know, limited to the actual issue before us, I mean, I think it is tremendously useful. I guess what we do with it, and do we formalize it? I mean, I think there would be some values, like we write these letters, right, that are going to whoever they're going to, the mayor and what have you. I mean, that the public testimony should be a component of that, too. Mm-hmm. It not only informs what people are saying around the table, but it should be its own separate bit of information that's going to the decision makers.
Mm-hmm. We grappled early on with this question of kind of how to focus the public testimony. Yeah. And part of the issue that came up is no matter what you want to focus the testimony on, the people who show up are going to say what they want to say.
Yeah, and you can't stop that.
Yeah, and I don't think we should. No. I mean, I don't know how possible it is mm-hmm. to do that in a non-authoritarian way in general. But the other part is, though, if, you know, we kind of went back and forth on this idea of invited testimony to start off a listening session, like there was a bunch of edits mm-hmm. of this stuff. The question is do we want to institute, the question I have for the group is, do we want to institute some sort of, let's get the ball rolling with this person presenting on why this issue matters to them, and have a maybe two or three voices representing different stakeholder groups and different positions on the same topic, so that at least that's established out front.
Right.
Because I think that, you know, as much as people will say what they want to say, they're also listening to what comes before them, and they are going to focus what they're saying based on what comes before them as well. And invited testimony gives an opportunity for everyone here who represents different stakeholder groups to think about what element do I want to emphasize to the public before everyone else starts testifying.
And I think that's happening informally if it's not
exactly
informally.
Exactly, yeah.
It still seems to me like we'd want to review the bylaws, because there is, I'm just, you know, sort of refreshing my memory mm-hmm. here, just looking at them here. The listening sessions, the public testimony, they're so much a part of the bylaws. It really seems like having that opportunity to review mm-hmm. and maybe concurrent with what is the purpose of having mm-hmm. that in here, and you know, trying to do them sort of together in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that what you said, we do want to hear that. Sometimes that is the only way we're going to hear from people mm-hmm. about what is important to them. The mayor or we, you know, or our commission chairs might say, we want to talk about these things, but if we really want to be in touch with what the community is saying about being a renter or being a landlord, we have to be willing to hear it all. And I think that's where the bylaws come in mm-hmm. terms of, okay, we're going to take it in, and then how do we sort it, and what do we do with it? Mm-hmm. So that's where I see a value in using that lens to review the bylaws to say, okay, how do we create sort of a, mm-hmm. the bylaws, use them as sort of a filter to mm-hmm. figure out where they go.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think part of the reason why I put the public testimony on the agenda for today is because since the meeting, Margaret has followed up a few times to see, has the bylaws committee met? Have they decided mm-hmm. whether we should have a public testimony committee? How are we responding mm-hmm. to public testimony? Mm-hmm. A member of the public reached out to the mayor's office, who redirected them to the Housing Bureau to ask, what's the status of public testimony with the RSC? Is there going to be a committee or not? And so I committed to bringing the issue to the Rules and Bylaws Committee,
I
think that whatever approach you all take mm-hmm. is your decision, but I wanted you to all be aware of the context and to be on the same page about coming into the next RSC meeting where is the Rules and Bylaws Committee on the issue of public testimony at meetings, and what is the plan for creating a plan? Yeah.
Did Margo submit her proposal in writing?
She did not.
Okay.
So maybe what we could say is that, I mean, just basically what's happening is that we recognize that the committee has not been operating per, you know, the bylaws, and that part of that bylaws is the public testimony and listening sessions, and in our review, we will, we'll formalize a suggestion, and then we'll bring it to RSC. I think it's premature to have a public testimony subcommittee and until we do that, and maybe what you could say to Margo and to the person that reached out to the mayor is that, part of our evaluation will be to see if it would make sense to have a subcommittee to deal with public testimony. Mm-hmm. And then, it's clear that we're trying to act on it.
I like that.
Right, we're going to come up with some solution.
Right.
It may or may not include
And I think, when if you're doing this verbally in your response, I think my concern is that we make sure that if we're going to expand public testimony, we have to be clear what that is. If that's just giving an opportunity for somebody to express themselves, which has value, but I want to make sure we don't expand and have these listening sessions with people having an expectation that that's going to change the agenda that's on RSC's scope. And that goes right back to what you said, if we aren't sure what the end goal of the RSC is, I mean, there is certainly value in the community having the opportunity to express themselves, but we just have to be clear if that's really all they're doing and they're just kind of giving the commissioners sort of a broad understanding of the temperature out there, that's very different than we're going to be, compiling it and getting it to the appropriate entity.
That's great.
That question of goal and purpose is really central to this, and I think as a group what we need to tackle is, in the bylaws, is there an opportunity to kind of look at this enabling act that created this RSC and define for the group through the bylaws the purpose or structure to a purpose? It comes down to what do we want to see out of this group given what it's been charged to do, and can we articulate that in writing in like a formal operational way?
And I think we have some information and material to work with in that the first part of the bylaws, as proposed in the copy that I can find right now, is a mission that's relatively clear. And I think we start there, and we've got this wonderful perspective of having been through a year and a half of the commission operating, and we can look back and say, "Oh, that's our mission? Dang!" Or "Wow, we're really hitting it. We just need to refine it." So I think that we've actually got some good place to start, and I think that can then be refined in terms of, okay, what does that mean for how we set expectations for the public, for city council, for the mayor, about what we're going to do? How do we set expectations about how frequently and what topics come into public testimony and what happens after that? So,
And I guess I'd be curious back to the what ultimately the mayor wants to see out of it. If really, and I don't know if how you put this in writing, but if really it isn't about the mayor's agenda, if it's just about everything that a commissioner comes up with as it relates to housing is going to get punted to the RSC, then, and that's basically what it's been. So then somewhere that should be written down, because because that means that you know, yeah. next week, you know, we could be looking at, you know, should we let doves out once a week, you know, to make people feel better about their housing situation? You know, and I'm obviously being tongue-in-cheek, but I really think that if that's really what we're serving as the clearinghouse for housing issues, that should probably be put down there as the scope of what we're responsible for.
I think that is absolutely, I mean, that's nail on the head. That's absolutely right. And that's where I, a while ago, went back to the original, I guess it was really the ordinance that formed the commission, and its stated purpose, and even on the city's website, serves as a primary public forum for discussion of rental housing law and regulation and renter-owner programs and services. That doesn't say anything about giving opinions to city council and mayor. So, but this statement right here makes me think, wow. You know, I'm embarrassed to say I'm on it because we haven't really done a good job when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. So I think that getting back to that and saying, because I also think we have the capacity and sort of the street cred to be able to go back to the mayor and say, you know, we've been doing this a year and a half. We started off over here. Now we've learned that this is more important. We want to propose that this actually becomes the, you know, modified and formal mission. And it may not have anything to do with his original thing. But I think that now is the time to do that.
And I think certainly as the group continues its discussion, we can invite Cupid from the mayor's office to weigh in. I would hold off on that until the group has a clearer sense of what questions we're asking mm-hmm. and what answers or directions of answers we're hoping to receive, but that's absolutely something that we can do.
Awesome.
Well, this felt very productive. I hope people feel the same way.
Oh, yeah.
So for the next meeting, unless anyone else, do you have anything else you want to add?
No.
Anybody else?
Mike, do you have anything?
Mike?
Does it say in our bylaws how many listening sessions we're supposed to have each year?
No, it says nothing.
Okay.
It just says we're going to have them, pretty much.
My only feedback when we were talking about public testimony and should it be on topic, should it not be on topic, I think for the main RSC meeting, for the public testimony there, I just think it's helpful for testimony to stay on topic for those meetings. Mm-hmm. And I think the listening session is the appropriate place to have a very wide pool of just being heard, where then we can take notes and then come back to the RSC as a group and say, hey, is there anything that we heard that we need to prioritize as an agenda item or a work plan item. Mm-hmm. That's just my thought on those public meetings.
Yeah,
public testimony.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. I've done my best to take notes on this conversation, and I will try to structure it in an outline so that we can kind of build that out as we go and continue to have some of these decision points or questions or topics for the group to talk about.
Great. So for the next meeting, everybody just familiarize yourself with the bylaws and maybe highlight areas that either aren't working the way they're written in practice or just feel wrong or like they need to be tweaked, and we'll talk about every one of them.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Cool. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you all.
Yep.
Awesome.
Good weekend, everybody.
Yeah,
you as well. It's
good. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for inviting me to be part of this.
We're starting to end early. It's becoming a trend of the RSC.
Nice. Once again, the RSC is a trend setting ahead of the mark.
If everyone else knew, that would
be
great.
Oh my God.
If only they cared, right?
If only they cared.
Bye, Deborah.
Bye.